Hey folks, it's Brian. So today we're taking a week off from the podcast and bringing you two of our mini episodes. Now these are episodes that if you sign up on our Patreon at the $5 a month or more tier, you'll get one of these babies every single week. So that's patreon.com/latenight. You can sign up over there. All right, enjoy the show and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Check. Can you hear me?
I can indeed hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Listener at home, can you hear us?
Wow. Oh, breaking the third wall.
Yeah, I guess it would be the third wall, wouldn't it?
I was, you know, the moment I said it, I was like, would it be? Maybe it's the only wall, right? There are no, you know, I don't see walls. It's hard to contain my talent.
There are no walls in broadcasting.
No, that's right. Maybe it's the, yeah, we're kind of like from a filmmaking perspective, I guess this is just audio. So it's like the zero, we have no walls.
This is so, the Dogma 95 of podcasting is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, actually specifically, this is the Antichrist of podcasting. That's how people refer to me personally. I saw the article going around this week again about Willem Dafoe's fake penis or penis stamp. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. His penis was too large.
Now, Brian, I get the feeling, based on everything you've ever said, that you're a huge fan of the film Antichrist and you've watched it many, many times.
It's got everything I like in it. It's got extreme psychosexual drama, gore, some kind of crazy fucking fox. It hits all the buttons for me.
What would you say is your favorite scene in Antichrist?
Probably the one where the clown car pulls up to the cabin and 100 Willem Dafoes wearing different outfits pour out and start masturbating.
Yeah, they're all wearing different outfits, but the only continual thing is that they're all Willem Dafoe and all of their penises are out.
Yeah, and they're all smaller than his actual penis.
Yeah.
In fact, if you put 100 of them together, then you get the size of his real penis.
A keen-eyed viewer will note, much like a Where's Waldo, which is the true Dafoe dick.
Yeah, that's right. It's in there. But because they're also all wearing little costumes, it's very hard to tell. But it is the one in the stripy red and white suit with the little hat. No, it comes as no surprise that I have not and will never see Antichrist. Every single thing I've ever read about it has screamed, don't do this to yourself.
I am not a Lars fan. I think he selectively makes some absolutely incredible shit. Melancholia, impeccable. Like, I can't argue with that one. Dogville, amazing. Mm-hmm. Antichrist is insufferable trash.
And it's two parts, right?
That, are you thinking of Nymphomaniac, which is
I am thinking of Nymphomaniac. You're correct, yes.
To be fair, I haven't seen Nymphomaniac because the idea of watching Lars make three movies on that subject matter is just something I'm not interested in.
Same.
But yeah, Antichrist is a slog, and he has the fucking gall to dedicate it to Andrei Tarkovsky.
Right.
Which feels like such a slap in the face after watching a horrible fucking movie.
Is there anything more pretentious than finding like a great and dedicating your thing to them? Right. It's like, it kind of puts you on the same, I don't know, as
Trier list.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. A Trier list. Yes. That'd be great.
There's only so much longer. Actually, you know what? No, I don't want to get away from this thread. I think we really struck gold there with Trier list.
I do too. I've seen one Trier movie, as far as I know.
Was it
Dancer
in the Dark?
Can you guess which one it is? It is not Dancer. What did I see? No, I never saw Dancer in the Dark. That's right.
I was going to guess that because it's the musical.
I know, but I've never seen it.
Let's see. What are his other movies?
I saw this in the theater, and it was a long time ago.
I don't know.
Breaking Those Waves.
Oh, okay. I've never seen that one. Did you like it?
At the time, I definitely had, I don't remember is the short answer. I do remember thinking, whoa, that's pretty fucked up. And I have not been back. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not like fucked up like some of his other stuff. But I remember the message being kind of much.
Yeah, the last thing of his that I watched was The House That Jack Built, that took me like three separate tries over the years to finish, just because I would get so mad at him. Mm-hmm. And turns out last 20 minutes, banger. Really? Like the rest of it is a miserable slog. It has maybe one of the best scary horror faces of the past decade.
I do like those.
And then the last 20 minutes just like unabashedly rule, and the rest of it sucks. And maybe it's just because the rest of the extremely long movie primes you to be so checked out that by the time the last 20 minutes hit, you're like, oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
I have an idea for a triple feature. Are you ready?
Go for it.
The House That Jack Built. What Did Jack Do? And Jack by Francis Ford Coppola.
I would like to suggest a replacement for Jack.
Okay.
Jack and Jill.
The Adam Sandler movie.
Yes.
Let's make it a quadruple feature. You talked me into it. There we go. And then, oh, maybe we could do Jumpin' Jack Flash, the Whoopi Goldberg vehicle from the late 80s, probably. Possibly early 90s.
Things don't get called an insert name here vehicle anymore.
No, it's true, actually, right? Yeah, I haven't heard that for a while.
I feel like, you know, the new Ryan Reynolds vehicle, and I'm not talking about the movie If, I'm talking about all of his ads for Mint Mobile.
Oh my God. Yes, indeed. Which you've mentioned previously. I was thinking, I got in the car the other day, and I was like, hey, Rachel, do you remember when Larry David sold us crypto? I think about this all the time, that he was in those, was it FTX ads or crypto.com?
They were the Super Bowl ads, right?
Yeah, where he's like, you know, it was a don't be like Larry. And I believe someone actually is or tried to sue him for this, for basically like endorsing something that then didn't work out. Although.
Wow, that's a Curb episode for free, huh?
Yeah, pretty much, right? That was disappointing. Although I guess crypto is doing a little better these days, but still.
Yeah, it's a cool guy thing to do. Look, there's only a limited amount of time before I can stop working this phrase into my vocabulary organically. Mm-hmm. But I got to see my foot guy today.
Could you narrow it down? I mean, there are several. There are several that you know about and a lot more that you don't.
Oh. Yeah.
Now that's the kind of reaction I'm looking for in this podcast. A reluctant grunt of assent.
So today. So,
do tell.
Again, this is on the Patreon and not on the public feed, so I feel fine saying this.
Public feed.
The private feed. After I fell off the roof, my father flew out to take care of me and stayed here for like almost 6 weeks, and it was delightful, and he only left yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. So now I am on my own with a broken ankle, and I am adjusting. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I have to have friends come help me do basic tasks like, I don't know, moving two full cups of water from one place to another. Mm-hmm. Or going to the doctor. So Allie came over this morning and took me to my very attractive foot guy.
Your photologist.
My photologist. I'm glad that somebody my age and not my father got to experience my hot doctor. And I'm out of the splint.
Oh, nice. And are the pins out? Or that's
they
are
not.
What the time
those okay. Those come out in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
And at that 2 week point, I will then be able to walk.
Wow.
But now I'm just in like an ace bandage with gauze to cover the protuberances.
And okay.
I have a boot.
Nice.
Here, I'm going to text you the latest.
Oh,
pics.
I can't wait. Feet pics. Yummy, yummy.
Yep. Feet pics from a 26-year-old. It's looking real crusty.
I can't wait. Give Daddy those foot pics. There we are. Here we go. Yep, that is a crusty fucking foot.
Yeah. And to be clear, that's mostly iodine and dead skin.
Mm-hmm. The two great tastes.
Yeah. Yeah, but now
Hold on. How do I get to the other photo? I see. Oh, two angles here. Very. Now, this is Dogma 95.
Yeah, showing them dogs.
We said it exactly at the same time. That's 100% was what I was just about to do. Look at those pins. Those pins are...
They're frightening. I am afraid for when they're taken out. I mean, it means that I'll walk, and that means that I can be a person again.
Yeah.
Because right now, I have my peg leg, as I mentioned.
Yep.
That's a weird one to maneuver about on.
Oh, I bet.
Like my, they're weird muscles getting worked out that, because you put your leg at a right angle and you put your knee in it and you kind of have to lead with your knee and it's heavy. It's just a very strange experience. But it makes it so I can walk upstairs.
That's amazing. Look at you. First time in like two months.
Now, walking downstairs is a different story.
Do you have to go backwards?
Yes, you do have to go backwards, and it's very scary.
Oh, I bet, because what you don't want to do is fucking fall on it.
Yes.
Now, what do the pins do? Like, because you have some pins in your ankle, which just live there now, right?
Yes.
And then you have these two ones that are sticking out of your foot, which will go away.
Yeah, so... I think it's just... The bones on that bit don't need to be held in forever. They just needed to be held in for the 6 weeks or however long it will have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think part of it is because, as you can see on the x-rays, that like all of my toe bones are hanging off the edge of like the cuneiforms. And I think that's there to make it so that is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then it should be fine. So I don't know. But also, crazy. How sick is it that the little foot bones in there are called cuneiforms?
That is pretty great. I didn't know that.
Getting Mesopotamian in this bitch.
Yeah. yeah. Etched onto the tablet of your foot.
Indeed. Yeah. But then Allie kindly drove me back home and we ate food and she made me watch the first couple of episodes of Cyberpunk Edgerunners, the anime. And I have two episodes left.
And that takes place in the Cyberpunk universe.
It does. And of course, I'm sitting here just repeatedly saying, it's just like a video game. That's what happens in the video game. Because they're really accurate.
Found their audience, huh?
To the video game. Yeah, I simply cannot resist it. I don't like watching animated media because I think it's the devil's hand drawing pictures that move. It's unwholesome. No, I just don't generally
honestly
go towards animated stuff.
Kind of the same these days. I can't remember what was the last animated thing.
But you have a child.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about non-child things. I feel like it wasn't too long ago. But yeah, I do not like seek it out in the way I used to. Now, you're talking to someone, Layden, who was there in what was probably the heyday of Adult Swim. And I'm talking early Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And that was very influential to me.
Of course it was.
At that age. I quoted the Aqua Teen Hunger Force in my PhD thesis.
What was the quote?
Let's see if I can get it exactly. It was from the Moon of Nights, of course. And it was something like, one of the Moon Knights goes, Ignignacht, I believe was the name of the Moon Knight. You and your three dimensions. And then Frylock, I think it's Frylock, says, what about it? Oh, nothing. It's cute. Well, how many do you have? We have 5,000. Yeah, 5,000. Well, I only see two. That sounds like a personal problem. And I thought this was relevant to my thesis in a sense, because a big part of string theory is extra dimensions that you can't see. And no one knows if that's right, if it's real, if there are extra dimensions or not. But I thought that was a funny way of acknowledging the existence of extra dimensions while saying, if you can't see them, maybe that's just on you.
That's cute. Also, that joke structure feels so Wechtian.
Yes, it felt very much like something I would do, which is to say, make an exaggerated claim, have someone come at me for it lightly, and then immediately throw it back in their face.
Yeah, and blame them specifically.
100%. And then never acknowledge at all that I might be wrong or fucking with them.
Beautiful. Brilliant. Yep.
And yet I've been married for 17 years.
So as you may have noticed on the Discord, I popped in and stole Project's thunder on dropping the new Jenny Nicholson video about the Star Wars hotel.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which was incredibly rude of me and fucked up.
That's fine.
Because I didn't scroll like a fool.
It's fine.
I know, but how I have to do the classic move of making it about me and how I'm a bad person.
No. You're the host. You get to do what you want. You have the divine right of hosts. Because you get to steal anything from anyone and claim it as your own.
The divine right of a host. Yeah, that's the title of the mini.
Do you know how I feel about attribution? It's a sucker's game, Layden. Why bother? That's what I say. Content was made to be for everybody by everybody. And the
Dude,
moment you start...
You can't say that where Harry can hear you.
Yeah, indeed.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So the new Jenny Nicholson video on the failed Star Wars Star Cruiser, which is 4 hours, and I loved every minute of it. And immediately
it's great, huh?
Joined her Patreon. But I wanted to bring it up because it's such an interesting misfire. I guess a lot of people had good experiences there, but it just seems so baffling. And for that price point.
Yeah, what was it? It was like $5,000 for a weekend or something like that?
For 2 days, $6,000.
Jesus Christ.
And the funny, sad thing is that for Jenny and her sister, it was just like a miserable experience where the game didn't work. And it just seemed so low rent. Anyway, I bring all of that up to say, that's a very expensive price point for somebody, for anybody, let alone somebody who has, like, say, children who want to come experience the Star Wars thing.
Oh, yes.
And you have to like Star Wars a whole lot to be willing to spend that kind of money.
Correct.
Despite having been a Star Wars child, does not hold true to
Padawan.
Me even remotely.
Yeah.
But this is where I'm coming around to. Is there any immersive experience like that from a fictional property, not that you'd necessarily be willing to spend $6,000 for 2 days on, but if there was something that would tempt you to part you with your money in a sort of immersive experience like the Star Cruiser promised, what would get you out the door?
Well, of course, my mind immediately was like, what would be the funny answer? And I went to American Dad, of course. What would be the actual answer? Do I like anything? One thing that happens, Layden, as you age is the stuff I am enthusiastic about is increasingly not like, I don't know. I don't have that same kind of like teenage love for certain pop culture things. I will say if there was a Twin Peaks, The Return immersive experience, that I would be very tempted to do. It would probably be scary and spooky, but I think I would love it.
That would make me like it more, and I would be angry if it wasn't scary and spooky. I would need it to commit hard to setting the tone of, oh, it's cute and fun, and then really fucked up shit starts happening and doesn't stop.
Yeah. The closest thing I can think of something where I was like, fuck yes, this rules is, and this is almost a cliche at this point, and maybe even makes me a little capital B basic. The fucking Sleep No More is great. And I loved it. And I love the other Punch Drunk productions that I saw in London. That kind of shit was awesome. And it's just a night at the theater, you know, albeit an immersive theater. But that is a thing I did where I was like, this feels great and I love it. And that was a while ago now, but although not that long ago, probably the last time I went twice. And I think the last time I went was probably 2017, 2018, something like that. So yeah, that's close to me. But what else would it be? I'm trying to think. I don't want to give some crazy answer that would be like not even feasible, you know.
Well, what do you mean by that? What are you thinking that wouldn't be feasible?
Well, something that required a crazy amount of effects that just like, I don't know, Pacific Rim. Not that I particularly care about Pacific Rim, but mm-hmm. not going to be walking a fucking, you know, what are the monsters? What are the robots called? Fuck.
Mechs?
Wasn't there another name for them?
I haven't seen Pacific Rim.
I thought there was another name for them. I can't remember what they are. But yeah, something like that where I'm like, okay, they probably couldn't do that. What's your answer? I sense that you might have one. Is it Fallout, perhaps?
It's not, actually. And I thought of this because I was thinking, like, with the success of the show and Amazon money behind it, I can totally see them attempting to do something. It wouldn't be on the scale of the Star Wars hotel. And yeah. So probably appropriately would have a lower price point. And in which case I would be tempted to, you know, mm-hmm. put on a, I mean, what am I saying? I've considered going to the annual New Vegas thing that they do in Vegas at the Good Springs General Store.
Yeah.
Which would be catastrophic to experience, I think.
Oh, I bet.
But the if they did like a cyberpunk immersive thing, I would be into it. It would be me and Allie.
That was going to be my other answer. Yeah.
And thigh high boots and with silly makeup on running around. Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah,
I don't like anything enough. I love
that's the
cyberpunk.
Issue.
I don't love it to the degree that I would drop the kind of money that people were dropping on the Star Wars Star Cruiser.
No, I don't even like anything enough at this stage in my life to go to a con anymore. In fact, that sounds like a thing that would make me like it less. So
what the fuck is my dog doing?
I don't care.
Do you
what is she doing?
You said you don't care.
No, but everybody else might. I'm looking out for the listener here.
No, it's going to remain a mystery. Continue what you were saying.
I feel like going to a con would almost always result in me liking the thing I went to the con for less than than before I went. And that is probably because of, I don't know. It's just kind of a gut instinct that says I would find basically all of it annoying and weird. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I hate inconvenience. The thing that really strikes me about hearing about the Star Wars Hotel is that it sounds fucking exhausting. I would be so pissed off, so uncomfortable, even if everything went perfectly, of just like, oh, there's going to be dynamic encounters in the hallway. And like, I've got to be here at a scheduled time for story events, and I can't like fuck off and nap. And everybody's in character. Like, no, that sounds horrible. That sounds like funny, love doing bits and having fun, but not that much. I can do it for like an hour out of every 24, not 2 full days feeling like you have to do it to get your money's worth.
Yeah. No, 100%. Well, the one thing I was thinking about recently, so we went to the Ren Faire this weekend, as I texted you.
I did see the very cute pictures.
The pictures, which it was very fun. But
what's the hot, miserable, dusty rating?
Not hot, actually, at all. Like, very pleasant temperature. I was in jeans, and it was great. So, shockingly not hot. Mildly dusty. Parking, we got there before it opened and had no problems. Like, very part, it was maybe a 10-minute walk from our car to the entrance. Very easy. Maybe even less. So great. No problem at all. We got there as it opened, and so it started out not that crowded and then got disgustingly so as the day went on. But what I was thinking about was my tolerance for overly performative bullshit is basically on the fucking floor right now. And it is a subtle difference between a thing that is cool and awesome and someone really going for it, and a thing that makes me want to avert my eyes and crumple to the ground. And it's, you know, there's a lot in the Ren Faire of people performing, mm-hmm. and some of it's great, and some of it is like, oh my God, please, please stop. And it's a very, very fine line. And I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, it's, if something feels too performative to me, mm-hmm. I'm out. And which is weird because I love musicals and theater, and that's not what I'm talking. Some people say I don't like musicals because it feels, you know, it feels too performative. That's not quite the thing I'm saying. So maybe performative isn't the right word. But
and it sounds like the level of earnest does not factor in, or it does. Does it?
Yeah, I think honestly what I'm drilling down to is how well acted it is more than anything. Right. Like, how,
don't subject me to this if it's bad.
I you know, if I were, you know, said rudely, yes, pretty much.
Well, no, I'm living with this every week because I have to hear someone who comes to outside my apartment and plays an instrument badly. And I've been dealing with that for like several months now.
Mm-hmm.
And I beg of thee, please.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yes. I totally get it. It is much more forgivable when it's like a younger person who's learning. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it's fine. Like, I don't, you know, Audrey plays piano. She's not great at it, but she's fucking 10. Who cares? Like, that's the point. It doesn't bother me, but I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. And also the tiptoeing, cause you don't want to be a dick, and it's not like, there's a certain level where you can write it off, but there's also a level where it's like, don't pull the rest of us into this. Don't make me be party.
Yeah. And I think maybe, tell me what you think about this. Maybe the crucial factor is when I feel like the performance is something that the person performing is getting more out of than the person watching, that's when it tips to like, well, I don't know about this. You know what I mean?
I think maybe my level on that, and the thing that really bugs me, is when it's somebody who is not good, who thinks they are crushing it.
Well, that's amazing. That is one of my favorite things.
I mean, yeah, there are situations in which that's good, but there are situations in which, like, maybe if you have the context of this person is always like this and just thinks they're better than everybody, and yeah, this is a level of like, this is
bad.
Is, yeah. Yeah. And I say this as somebody who's been serenaded.
Hmm.
Directly by men several times. And it, when the confidence is high and the skill is low.
I remember, this is triggering memory that we've talked about this. I love the idea of someone serenading you, who would be way up on my list of people who would not respond well to being serenaded.
Yes, especially if the songs are songs from anime.
Oh, that delivery was very good.
Thank
very
you.
Very good.
I'm not
going to
specify further.
This reminds me of a story, if I may.
Yeah, please.
I was dating this girl, and she was, shall we say, on the edgy side. And I have talked about this girl on the show in the past in an episode called Why Can't Your Alone Time Include Me?
Oh, God.
This is that girl. And we, at some point early on, I think we had just started dating, we went back to my place, and which, of course, was a graduate student apartment at the time, so not a sexy place. And I put on some music as things were getting rolling, and I can't even remember. Oh, actually, I do know what started playing. One of my favorite albums. Is it just called John Coltrane and Johnny Hartman? It's a jazz album, and it's like ballads. And I didn't pick this to play. It was just on. I just put it on. And this girl was like, I'm out. The music started and she immediately was like, nope. And I was like, excuse, by the way, a portent of things to come. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And she's like, I can't handle this like romantic bullshit. And this is not like, I mean, if you listen to this album, it's a great album. It is pretty like capital R romantic. And I can't even remember what I put on instead, but she wanted like, you know, something heavy distortion rock kind of something like that. So, and again, this should have been a warning sign, but was not.
This is like, there was a similar setup, certainly more modern milieu with Spotify at hand, college aged Layton, where I was like, do you want to listen to some music? Do you want to put some music on? And he was like, oh, I don't know. Like, whatever. And I was like, you don't have like a thing that you want to listen? You just want to do this in silence? And he was like, no. Like, you could put on like Arcade Fire. This is after I was like, he was like, I feel like you're going to judge me. And I was like, no, I'm not going to judge you. And then he suggested Arcade Fire and then I absolutely judged him for it.
What's the right answer? What would have been a better answer for you?
Coming from a very Midwestern yellow American spirits hipster blah blah, saying Arcade Fire was just like, and that is exactly what I should have expected you to say. Mm-hmm. No, there would have been no correct answer. It's okay, just the great kind of thing, and maybe this is additionally colored by how that ended up going. Spoiler, not great. And I like Arcade Fire. It's just, if you're first, like, right off the bat, what do you want to make out to is Arcade Fire? I don't know about it.
Yeah, I think that's 100% valid. I do like the power move of being like, no, silence. I want to hear all your noises. And then it's just a bunch of like wet slapping and like rustles and still. Oh, that is truly terrible.
Yeah, that would be, yeah. But then you also run into the like, the I have to skip this song because this is just not the vibe. And now this is revealing more of my own neuroticism of just like, one second, hold on, I gotta skip this song. Not this one either. This one, yeah. Okay, good.
That's why you need a go-to playlist, like, for exactly this purpose. Now, look, I am well beyond this point in my life. I have been for a long time.
No, but look, you can have the playlist, but sometimes it's not consistent.
That's true.
What it's hitting you with or when. Sometimes it's simply not the vibe.
Yep.
But also constantly interrupting to fiddle with the music is not the vibe as demonstrated repeatedly throughout my life. So,
although, if
the ALEXA heard me.
Oh, I thought I heard something. The thing you want to do is you're not messing with the song choices. You're messing with the EQ. That is something that a romantic partner would love. It's just like, hold on, I got to turn down the 4Ks.
And you're doing this, it like sensually also.
Yeah, that's right. And you've got the thing behind you. And yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good move. That's hot. Boost those subs, baby. Get those 40Ks bumping. No, if not 40Ks, what am I talking about? 40 hertz.
Wow.
Yep. Meowch, by the way, was busting some subs on stage during the twerp show. There was a moment in the Toronto show where he hit some note that you could feel the sub on it. It was fucking awesome.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
Ma'am.
There's your dog.
There she is. She got very attached to my dad. And now I think she thinks that everybody outside is my dad coming back.
Oh, that's right. She likes bearded men, right?
Yes, she does. Mm-hmm. And is a misogynist. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Aren't you? Come here. Come here. Please come here so you can stop.
Come to a woman? Never.
Yeah, this is a...
This is classic women not supporting other women is what that is.
This is the additional, you know, I can't ambulate or carry things if I ambulate unless I have strapped a device onto my body. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, another thing that happened when I was going to see my foot guy is... And right before...
Again, you're
going
to have to narrow it down which one.
Yeah, and right before I went to my doctor,
Great.
I was... Yeah. We were valet parking because that's the only kind that you can do at this place. And
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly not trusting it again anyway. But, you know, I have my little bag on my crutches. Right. And I was going to Allie and I were going to get the crutches out of the back seat of Allie's car. And the attendant opened it and pulled the crutches out, trying to be helpful. God bless. Dumped my entire bag over and my phone, switch, wallet and a fun size package of Rolos that I didn't know were in there went skittering across the ground, and my Switch is damaged now.
Oh no, it got damaged in that?
It did, yeah.
Fuck, that sucks.
And I also couldn't like bend down to pick things up, so the guy was just kind of scraping them up and put them back in the car, and I was like, no, I need them back in the bag.
Bummer.
So it's not, there's like a tiny little nick on the screen, there's some on the housing, and then my left Joy-Con is road burned. It's fine, it's all functional, it could have been worse, but like, come on man, just leave my crutches alone, let me get it.
It's hard out here for a gamer.
It is hard out here for a gamer, you're right.
I was debating, well, I'm sorry to hear about your console.
Are you consoling me about it?
I am. Well, do we want to talk about this?
I don't know. It sounds like you want to talk about it.
Well, I don't. It occurred to me. Okay.
I said I was intentional about my choice of words, Brian.
I'm going to say this. All right. So
but you have to own it.
Yeah, of course. On our group Discord with people, no names. Someone said, hey, does anyone want a game? And another person said, I'm playing with a friend whose mother just died, but thank you. Other person says, fair enough, buddy. Consoling and gaming. And then I put...
Hold on.
Yes.
There's the backstory of
yes.
This.
Okay. I craft a response to this. Fair enough, buddy. Consoling and gaming. I start to type, I personally prefer PC gaming. And I'm like, feel like this might not be the move right now. So I text you and Jory with this in the message window, but unsent on the message line. Is that, what would you call that, message line? The text line? Whatever.
I guess.
I type it in, but I don't hit enter. And I screenshot it and send it to you and Jory and say, what? Like, is this in poor taste or something like that? And we all agree that it is probably in poor taste, but also funny. And then after stewing on it for, I don't know, let's see. Oh, I can see the timestamps. About an hour and a half, I hit send. No regrets.
Yeah. And
now I will say there was another response here, which maybe you want to talk about.
Do I?
Do you? I don't know.
Which are you talking about?
I'm talking about me getting mildly owned about two lines later.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian was beaten at his own game.
Do you want to explain this?
I don't
know. All right. I'll just fucking say it because now we need to tell people. Another person says, so there, then some gaming happens. Person types in, my PC froze, so I had to suffocate it with the power button. Thanks for gaming. And then the person they were gaming with said, that's why consoling gaming is better, Brian.
With a tilde, too.
Yes.
And this is after, in the separate text with Jory and Brian, I said that this is going to die unacknowledged.
That's right.
In the chat, as Brian's bits usually do.
Yeah, as they should. In a just universe, they do. But also, when you texted me and Jory to say, that I just got beaten at my own game. A text you sent uncharacteristically late for you at 12:30. And you might know, you might wonder why I know what time it was. It's because I was asleep with headphones in and I forgot to turn on Do Not Disturb. And I was woken up by my phone saying, Layton texted, you got beaten at your own game here, Brian. And then I was up for about an hour.
Double whammy.
Yeah. So wait, it's my own fucking, I have to turn on.
Where your headphones read your texts to you?
I guess it's just an option I didn't bother to turn off. And sometimes it's useful.
That would drive me crazy.
It's definitely annoying and I don't like it, but I've never remembered it long enough to turn it off. But yes, your text 100% woke me up. And this is not unusual because I always fucking forget to turn on Do Not Disturb.
Well, anyway, that was a great anecdote.
Yep. And that's a great mini.
Oh, wow. See you folks on Friday.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Oh my goodness. A mini?
It's a mini and I'm back home.
Welcome back home, Brian.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I've been home for less than 24 hours and already I'm fucking podcasting.
Hey, that's the podcasting lifestyle.
That's right.
How does it feel?
To be podcasting? Great.
Did your child remember you?
Oh, yes. They picked me up at LAX and she basically collapsed onto me. It was very sweet. So
wow.
She was kind of nuts last night. So they got me around 6 o'clock and we came home and hung out and had dinner and watched Bluey. And she was just bouncing off the walls. She's very excited.
Yeah, of course. That's really nice. I'm sure that was fun.
It is. Yeah, I miss that kid. And she already, you know, 6 weeks is a long time. And she'll be 10 in like a week.
That's crazy.
Crazy. And she's getting big. She's getting bigger. So I can see she's still very, you know, she's still little, but she's going to be a teenager before we know it.
I feel like I asked you what I should get her for her birthday. What was it? It was like a makeup-y or a mirror?
Makeup stuff would be great. She'd love anything like that. Okay. I mean, maybe you had a specific thought, but
I was talking about getting like a little lighted mirror.
Oh, yeah, like a little vanity thing. I think she'd love that. Yep. You can't go wrong with that, with Minecraft.
Yeah, there are companies that do makeup collabs with like licensed stuff. So I can see if I can find some video game makeup.
Oh, she would love that. Love it. Like a little Zelda, you know, vanity would blow her mind.
There's a Pokemon lip balm.
She doesn't care about that so much. She has like a few cards, but that's about it.
The Twilight collection on ColourPop. Amazing.
Oh, perfect. Get that from me.
Yeah, I know that you want that bad.
I'm definitely Team Gerald when it comes to Twilight.
Yeah, Gerald really comes out on top always.
He was the one that the top half is vampire and the lower half is werewolf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How would that? If you're top half vampire, I'm assuming that's all the time, but then bottom half is werewolf only during a full moon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And it's the waist. It's not the center of mass. It's like your waist, right?
Right.
So it's like you got that, you know, you get the werewolf genitals. I was about to say you got that werewolf dick, but then I decided to be more inclusive.
Sure. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Due to my wokeness.
Right. So does the blood just cease traveling? Because you've got vampire up there, which I assume your blood ain't moving around.
I would assume you are 100% vampire all the time, and then the lower half transitions to werewolf at the full moon, right? It's not like the lower half is not vampire. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, interesting. Right? This is the kind of hard-hitting mythical figure discussion that we've really been sorely missing out on.
Does something like that happen in Twilight where they get like a half vampire, half werewolf? Or is that like an underworld fucking thing? Underworld, a movie I saw the first of, and then there's like three more or something.
Well, I don't want to give you spoilers for Breaking Dawn.
That's right.
The answer is no, but there are things that happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are things that happen is my universal summary of media.
Great. Well, we talked about doing that for our next movie club.
Or bad book club?
Or bad book. Sorry, that's what it was. Yes, for the next bad book.
You know, I was reading a true crime book, and I was getting, it was really chapping my ass because it was doing the Dan Brown-isms of, like, it's one thing if you're a fiction writer and you're doing that, like, I must introduce every woman with her attractiveness and weight.
Body type, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like that in fiction, it's annoying. And then when it's nonfiction, especially when it's like people around a murderer, what are you doing? That's a real person. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's such a known dumb trope. But when the dumbest version of this is when women are introduced by their hair color, you know,
the brunette,
the brunette walked into the room. Which is something that is never done for male characters, ever.
Yeah.
Referred to as definite article hair color.
The blonde.
Right? The blonde. And also, what's interesting is that's only ever, you never hear, what's the equivalent of someone with gray hair, right? There's a brunette, there's a blonde. They're all young enough to be sexually viable, right?
Right. I mean, I guess Silver Fox is the closest thing, but it's not like the Silver Fox walked into the room.
But that's, I only hear that used for male characters, right?
I guess, yeah.
I don't think people typically use that for women.
Yeah.
Although I could be wrong.
I was really teeing you up. I was lobbing it so you could say that people only say it in regards to you.
Well, that is true. I did have a friend. I was texting with a friend today who has the Trey album on her wall, along with, aww, you know, it's in like an array of vinyl and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she said that someone she was on a video call with was like, "Hey, who's that on that album cover? Is that George Michael or Brad Pitt?"
Oh, man.
And
you're never gonna let that one go, huh?
Well, I said I'm putting it on my CV. Was once mistaken for Brad Pitt, you know, over Zoom at a distance by unknown person.
Brad, but that, the George Michael album. Or
Brad, yeah, that's famous saxophone player Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. Brad Licks Pitt would be his nickname, also his fetish. But that's a compliment. George Michael, Brad Pitt, two hot dudes.
Yeah, very true. Well, good for you. That must have made your year.
It did. It's the nicest thing anyone has ever or will ever say to me.
So since we last spoke, you've been to a few more cities. What cities have you gone to?
Well, let's see. We spoke from Baltimore, I believe. And that means we had a bunch of up the East Coast. So let's see. We did Philly, was that after? Yeah, I guess that was after Baltimore. Philly, New York, Boston, Burlington, Cleveland, Columbus, and the T-Dot, Toronto, with a few days off. And,
Jesus.
You and Jory were roasting me for my Burlington texts.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all over. And lots of friends in all of these cities except the Ohio ones. But I, you know, my sister came to the New York one. That was great. Bunch of other friends, people I haven't seen in a long time. Boston had a college friend I haven't seen in like 30 years. So that was great. You know, it was just like all really fun shows. Unusual or weird things or interesting things I did. I went to the Cleveland Museum of Art, which was fucking awesome. Crazy good museum. Crazy.
How many cums did you get out of that one?
A gentleman never jerks off and tells.
All right.
Let's say
keep your secrets.
More than five. Let's say.
Okay.
That's my body count or my canvas count.
All right.
What, anything else interesting in there? Let me think. It was pretty chill. Honestly, I didn't really go out too much in any of those cities. In Columbus, I did get annihilated with rain. It was the only really rainy day of the tour. And as I was the venue there, if the venue doesn't have a shower, we'll typically get a hotel room so people can shower.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, it's close to the venue. If you're not, it's not. And there, the day room was like a 10-minute walk away. And I was walking back, and about 5 minutes into my walk, the weather went from a very light, barely a sprinkle, to a drenching downpour. And I got destroyed with rain. And the venue also did not have a shower or laundry or a dryer. So I was pretty, pretty wet. Oh, wait. I do have a story for you. And it's a Columbus story. Okay. So I actually have to, this was so interesting to me that I wrote down some notes.
Wow. So okay. I am eager to hear this.
Here's actually a note I sent to myself yesterday. I want to become president of the ISS so I can use the acronym PISS to describe my job. Okay, moving on from that. It's like POTUS, but it's PISS.
Yeah.
Okay, so in Columbus, Ohio, which we were actually, as I understand it, in the cool part of, I've now had two experiences in Columbus. One was last tour with NSP, where we were not in a cool part. And this part, we were in the Short North, I think it's called, or the Arts District. Maybe those are kind of the same thing. It's a cool part of town. Lots of little coffee shops looking hip, you know, bookstores. So I do my sound check, you know, kind of dry off after getting drenched with rain. And then I go, while Twerp's doing their VIP thing, I go for sushi. Now, I'll give you an uninteresting detail first, but maybe it's illustrative of Columbus. A well-rated sushi spot right across the street from the venue. I go in there. It smells like complete shit. Like, smells awful. And
yes, Ohio, famous for being surrounded by beaches on all sides.
Yes. So, nevertheless, you can get good sushi. Lots of places that aren't coastal, so whatever. Mm-hmm. So I left this sushi place, and I walked to one that's a couple blocks away. Also well-related. Well-related? Fuck. My brand. I've been on tour too long lately. My brand is just like,
understandable.
My brain is mush, but my dick is hard as hell.
That's like the official motto of this podcast.
Yeah. So I go to a sushi place a couple blocks away, and it's early. It's like slightly before six, so it's not crowded. They sit me at the counter. Small place, little sushi bar, and they seat me at a counter, and there's like a young couple, a guy and a girl on my left, and to my right there is a full margarita and an earbud case, and it's just sitting there, and there's nobody next to it. And the guy on my left is having like a bro-y conversation with the bro-y bartender. Okay. And all they're right, talking about, you know, oh, like they were both chemistry majors, and did you know? But it was like the broiest version of that conversation. Anyway, that goes on for a while. I don't get involved because why would I? So I order my food. Takes a minute. Comes out. Guy, the drink is still unclaimed on my right. The bartender dumps it, takes the earbud case. This dude, a couple minutes later, while I've been eating, so this is maybe 20 minutes since I've been there, guy comes back up. He's wearing a sky blue polo shirt, big gold watch, probably 40-ish, white guy. And he's like, he looks at the bartender. He's like, yo, what happened? And the bartender's like, hey, man, sorry, you were gone for like 20 minutes, so I thought you weren't coming back. And this guy's like, oh, shit, man, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, my friend called, and he's been really going through it recently. And then I was outside taking the call, and I saw my buddies. So, you know, I got a hug up on him. And this is what I realized. This is going to be the best conversation I've ever heard. And the bartender, who's kind of, he's like a muscly dude, you know, like shaved head, goatee, you know, kind of a little bro-y vibe. Also, the same bartender fist bumped me when I ordered. You know, I was like, oh, I'll have the, you know, this bowl. And he's like, yo, bro, awesome choice. pounded in.
You got to you got to bump up on him.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, was pounded in the phrase?
No, but I have actually been using the phrase pounded in occasionally, which I really like.
Yeah, I like that too. I'm going to steal that.
So the guy who has recently returned, let's give him a name for the purposes of this story. What's a good, like, bro-y white
Chad
name? Chad. Great. Love it. So Chad comes back and he's talking to the bartender. And so he sits down. The bartender's like, no worries, dude. I'll pour you another drink. No problem. And also, it's a margarita. But the bartender's like, no triple sec, same as last time. And Chad's like, fuck yeah, man. You know it. Which, okay, is a third of the ingredients for a margarita. But whatever, you know, people like what they like. So this guy gets a margarita, which presumably is just tequila and lime. But okay. Yeah. But, you know, salt on the rim, all that stuff. Also, it's a sushi bar and the guy's ordering a margarita, which is
that's a choice.
Nuts. But fine. So he's talking to the bartender and Chad's like, yo, man, I just like, here's my nightly schedule. Like, I am a tequila nut. I can't go out like every night before I go out. I have my glass of Reposado, you know. Got that Reposado. Got to get the good stuff. And he's like, you know, like, I love, and this is exactly how he said it. He's like, I love Jose Corvo.
Oh, man.
And also the accent here, it was, I don't know if it's an Ohio thing or it's like a bro thing, but it was kind of like, it's kind of this accent. He was like, yeah, bro. So I love this, like, Jose Corvo. And it was kind of here is the way they were all talking. And so they go through a few minutes of like tequila chat. I'm desperately trying not to look at this guy. I'm like, the moment I even glance over there, I'm going to get drawn into this conversation. Yo, dude, you like tequila? Fuck yeah, man. Pound it in. So they're talking about tequila. And then the conversation moves on to what the guy wants to eat. And he's talking to the sushi chef, different person than the bartender, but who's right there. He's like, yo, man, what's good? What's going on? What's happening here tonight? And the chef goes, oh yeah, so actually I have a halibut. I think it was a halibut. Halibut's really good. Might be confusing the fish, but whatever. I have a halibut's really good. And actually I had two, but I kind of messed the first one up. So that's not available. And Chad goes, rookie move. And the sushi chef is like, what? But keeps talking. And he's like, yeah, I've got this, you know, I think he called it a horse halibut, but I could be mishearing. Got this horse halibut coming in tomorrow. And Chad goes, yo, I gotta reserve that. And the chef's like, well, you can't reserve it. If you come in, you can like order it. And Chad's like, no, man, I gotta get some of that horse halibut. Is it dope? And the chef's like, yeah, it's really good, but you can't reserve it. You can just come in and order it. And then Chad goes, and this is exact quote. This is the first thing I emailed myself. Chad goes, I thought I understood the sushi game. And I was like, now picture me grabbing my phone off the counter and under the counter texting myself. I thought I understood the sushi game because I was like, what is going on? I thought I understood the sushi game. And the guy's like, yeah, man, sorry. If you come in, you can get it. And Chad's like, fuck, man, I'm busy tomorrow. Can't do it. And the guy's, you know, the chef is like, well, I think we might get it in another day. And in a phrase that I guess is popular now, and I heard several times on this tour, but I have not heard up until this point, Chad starts going, brother, say less, say less, say less, which I guess is a... Have you heard people say this?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
but I haven't heard it used in place of like, shut up.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't being exactly a dick about, like, there's a version of this where the guy's an asshole. He wasn't an asshole. He was just a total bro.
Right. Yeah.
And, but to, I feel like it came from a place of like, I got you. I understand what you're saying. No sweat. But yeah, that happened a few times. Say less, brother. Say less. I got it. And then I finished and left the sushi bar. But that was my sushi bar experience in Columbus, Ohio. And I now have an email to myself where the first line is, I thought I understood the sushi game.
That's such so a great. Beautiful thing. And you didn't interact with them the rest of the time. That was it.
He was just, but he was immediately to my right. I mean, next to me. And I was desperate not to make eye contact with this person. I just wanted to eat my sushi and get back to the venue. And yeah.
Was the landlocked sushi good?
Actually, the sushi was fucking awesome. Shockingly. Okay. It was like really, really good. I ordered two things. I had like a Donburi bowl, which was really good. And then a thing which was like kind of like a crispy rice, a sandwich, but the bread was crispy rice with like crab meat inside and like a dipping sauce. Dipping sauce, by the way, when I ordered this thing, the bartender's like, dude, that dipping sauce changed your life.
I want to go here. I want to be a regular at this Ohio sushi spot.
Yep. For those of you in the area, it was called, I believe, Domo Sushi in Columbus, Ohio, on High Street, I think is the street. Yeah. And you'll probably find Chad there chilling at the bar with his triple sickless margarita. Triple sickless? Triple sackless margarita, pounding it in with the bartender.
You telling me this story about emailing yourself, I love eavesdropping and writing down what people say. Mm-hmm. And I think the best one I ever had, I didn't remember where I had put the note where I wrote it all down. And as you were telling that story, I found it. Mm. So here's my everything. Chad.
Yeah.
The year was probably 2018. And I am flying back from Portland to LA. Mm-hmm. And I have taken an edible and I am sitting on, like, you know, sometimes they have the seat that's right behind the exit aisle where there's only like aisle in middle. Yes. And then like there's the curve. Yes. I was on the like straddling the aisle, like full view ahead mm-hmm. of you seat. Mm-hmm. And the Great. Captain was this very Southern, like extremely Southern gentleman. And the edible was kicking in and he was, you know, giving the little speech, but it felt like he was directing it right at me because that's how I was. But we've been like sitting there for a while and everyone's seated, everyone's getting cozy. And then this like young guy bustles in having been late and is like, you know, having to climb over the other people in his seat to get in and is like trying to find a place to put his bag, but he's on the phone the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were getting ready to start taxiing and he's still on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I think what he was saying is the best conversation I've ever heard in my life. So this is a bunch of disconnected things, but just to give you a sense, the first thing I hear him say is culture is like a microcosm of society. Like, but don't go to all the basic spots in London. Do it like, not for the tourists, but like for purists.
Not for tourists, but for purists.
Yeah. Next.
Amazing.
LA is kind of like stuck in a rut. NYC is the place to be, man. It's the most relevant right now. I mean, like Supreme is in New York. And supposedly, uh-huh. I guess, you know, the other person.
This is like 5 years ago.
Yes. And the fact that the level to which all of these statements are disconnected, it is an accurate representation of the side of the call I was hearing. Mm-hmm. So next. What is he, with a bunch of thotties on a boat? I came here and I slammed a few beers before I came into the airport and I really had to piss. Like my bladder was burgeoning.
Burgeoning?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the phrase that I remembered to search to find it.
My bladder is burgeoning. That's fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's in my personal, like, it's kind of like we are a product of what we consume. And I like to not, like, limit my consumption. But then again, novel doesn't mean it has to be new. It just has to be genuine. Everything is built on the shoulders of giants. And why build on the ground when you could stand on the shoulders of giants? So that's what I'm trying to, like, people think when I talk about culture, like, I'm being trivial. But, you know, we're surviving. Man is neither beast nor God, you know?
What the fuck?
It keeps going.
This is amazing.
How do you wipe your ass? In the Middle East, they use like faucets to spray on their butts, and I think that's gross. But then we use dry toilet paper in the States. So actually what I use are baby wipes because you have the perfect combination of the moisture and texture and disinfectant. It's a cultural thing, man. Culture is just choosing the best way to live.
That's incredible.
I wouldn't call myself
the best way to live.
I wouldn't call myself liberal. I would call myself progressive. Like, I'd be open to conservative ideas if they led to progress. And then he's signing off the call. Big tubular. Later, man.
Big tubular? That's, wow.
So then we still have not taken off yet. And like,
wait, describe what this person looks like.
Blonde. I don't remember much what he looked like. Just a young bro in the 20, right. Like 20s bro.
Yeah.
And he continues making more calls. And so I gather that he's trying to get a last minute gig at a random bar anywhere in LA, and he desperately needs help.
Like tending bar.
No, like playing a show.
Oh.
Because he's a musician.
Oh, I think did you say that before?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Because this is the part where I find this out. And also, I am so high during this. Like, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. And he's on a new call, and he gets very emphatic. I mean, the plane is silent except for this guy. Wow. And he goes, dude, Aria is so fucking annoying. I posted a comment, but then it happened multiple times. How's that my fault? And he's still trying to negotiate getting a table. Like, money is not necessary, even free drinks or a table for my friends, you know? And then the final line, as this conversation has heated up, as he's not getting somewhere. Dude, do you want to chill at a free table or not? Then help me secure the fucking bag.
Now it sounds like he's in a heist.
Yeah. So I believe he had a bag of gear that he was trying to get to a random bar in LA. But wow, I had not read that documentation of that experience in many years. So
bro accent, too.
Thank you. Big tubular, man.
Big tubular, bro. The heist thing reminds me. I watched a movie that I fucking hated recently.
Go off.
Baby Driver.
Thank you.
Bad.
Thank
you. Straight up bad. I like Edgar Wright a lot. Uh-huh. Big fan. I've been meaning to watch this for a long time. I get to Canada. It is, you know, it's like we cross the border early in the morning. I get to my Airbnb, which I texted you something interesting about, which I'll talk about in a moment. And I pull up Netflix. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to see? Baby Driver thumbnail pops up. I got algorithmed. I was like, fuck yeah. Been meaning to watch it. Let's do it. I hated this movie. Mm-hmm, like, I a lot of actors. I like it. I like John Hamm.
And your favorite, Kevin Spacey. And,
well, I was going to say, I've been a huge fan of Kevin Spacey for years. And then he shows up on screen. He's also an actor. Who knew? No, obviously, he's a complete monster. And so that obviously, you know, that's coloring things a bit, but
no, but okay. My,
but whatever. I just thought that movie was, there's no, I mean, it wasn't even particularly well shot for an Edgar Wright movie. Nothing about it was interesting. There was some cool stunt driving and stuff, but,
and you know, for a movie where the whole thing is like, oh, it's all synchronized and edited to the music.
Yeah,
Pick
better music. And also, like, I don't know, even the synchronization was, sometimes I felt like it just didn't really work. Like, it generally worked, but sometimes it didn't. But that the main, your movie is named after a character. But is it a character? No, it is a person who drives a car, and he has a completely implausible relationship with what's her name, Lily James, as that waitress, Deborah. And I like Lily James a lot. I think she's great. But why the fuck? She's willing to run away with this guy? They've known each other for like 2 days? Is that supposed to be romantic? I didn't buy anything about it.
Yeah. I guess I think I hate a Getaway Driver movie. And now we've come back around to I fucking hate Drive 2011. And I also hate Baby Driver. Because, like, you know, Baby Driver came next and just feels like it's eating Drive's lunch to a degree, but Drive's lunch was already rancid.
Yeah, it's and it's like 2 hours long. It's really long too for an action movie. The action wasn't even that interesting. Yeah, I gave it a chance again. Edgar Wright. I was like, this has to get better. And then I felt like it's just this. It's also the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And yes, pick better music. Music choices. The needle drops were dumb.
I seem to recall. Am I remembering correctly that they play like 30 seconds of
Boards of Canada?
No. Oh my God.
They do play a Boards of Canada song, which I clocked immediately and Googled it because I was like, is that what's his name? It's like Ready, Set, Go or something by Boards of Canada. Sorry, what were you going to say?
They play like 30 seconds of a Run the Jewels song and then change the radio station. It's like
I think that's right. I think that's right.
Yeah, like I was so infuriated by that. It's like, oh, wow, we're going to get a good. No, we're not. Okay.
They use a particular Boards of Canada song, which is just kind of, it's not during driving. I think it's just kind of in the background. And I was like, it's one of those very distinctive like synth sounds that they use. Mm-hmm. They play one part of the song and then move away. But I hated that movie. I haven't seen a movie that I disliked that much in quite a while.
Well, congratulations.
So, thank you very much. So instead, I started watching Baby Reindeer.
Oh, are you enjoying it?
Well, does one enjoy Baby Reindeer?
You're right. Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet. But I am excited to watch it. As excited as you can be about the subject matter.
Yeah. I've finished it. I thought it was fantastic. You know, it's
okay.
Hard to watch, as people said. And there's one episode in particular, which is awful.
Right. Yeah.
But I thought it was really well done and worth watching, although possibly very upsetting.
Yes. Yeah. That sounds about right.
But I think it deserves the hype. It certainly is the kind of thing that has stayed with me. I mean, it's like 2 days since I've seen it.
Right.
But I do recommend it if you think you can handle, you know, stalkery,
yeah,
sexual assault, stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, and it typically, I don't watch a lot of stuff like that, meaning that deals with that kind of subject matter. But I thought it was very well done. I mean, it's definitely a dark comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's very funny at points. I thought all the acting was fantastic. Especially the stalker woman. I forget the name of the actress who plays her, but she was great. Oh my God. I mean, a really stunning performance. And just interestingly shot. I thought it was great.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I'm glad to hear it. Aaron and Susie were telling me to watch it, and so has the entire internet.
Yes. Well, I was watching it the same time a couple of the other guys in Torp were watching it. And yeah, it's like, I think we all got to Toronto, turned on Netflix and started watching something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. Trying to think what, and did anything else interesting happening? Oh, my fucking brain right now.
Brain mush, dick hard.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know it. Actually, dick got harder, weirdly, as the brain got mushier.
That seems like you should get it checked by a medical professional.
Yeah, although my usual doctor only hangs out in his alley at night, so I'll text him. I had such a great time on this tour. In Toronto, met a bunch of pod people, as I've come to call them. And that was great. There was one show, I think I texted you, where I think it was Syracuse, actually. There was just a whole group. It felt like there were like 10 people in a row. We're like, I love the podcast. I love the podcast. And it was so nice. Saw a bunch of Stay Safe Come Hard shirts, peaches and lemons beanies.
What?
People wearing the gear.
That was so cool.
It was really, really cool. And a bunch of people who were like, yeah, I kind of fell off the show, but I really loved it for a while. Like, a lot of people went out of their way to mention the podcast.
Aww.
And that was very, very nice. So that was very, like, gratifying.
I so thoroughly relate to falling off of a podcast because I will listen to things in spurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel it.
And also, like, people say that, like, I'm going to be mad at them. And I'm like, no, thank you for listening. Like sometimes people would come up after a show and they'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't buy any of your merch. And I'm like, you came to a fucking show.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, thank you for being here. I'm not, look, I love it when people buy merch, but I'm not like mad when they don't.
Yeah. How dare you?
How dare you? I mean, not everyone can afford it. Like this, shit's expensive. Buying a ticket to these shows isn't cheap. You know, you came out, you left your house to come see me and Torp and Nelward. Fucking amazing. Like, but everything else is just gravy from there. And also people listen to the show at all. Like it's, you know,
you don't have to do that, but you do. Oh, and I appreciate you for it.
Totally. And just like the vast majority of people, like nearly everybody, just very, very cool, kind, and not just the podcast listeners, everybody. Awesome people. Loved meeting them. So great to put faces. You know, you see numbers of listens or views or whatever, and it doesn't really give you a sense of who people are.
Yeah.
And just seeing people in person and getting to chat to people, even if it's just for 30 seconds or whatever, it was the best. And it honestly, this tour meant a lot to me across the board. Like I also got to hang out with some of my closest friends every night for 6 weeks, which
I'm very envious of that.
Meowch called it slumber party living. Which is exactly what it is. It's like every night for 6 weeks, I got to have a slumber party with my best buds, which is incredible, right?
I'm incredibly jealous of that. I did see on our Discord group chat last night that they were all back in the game and saddle, which I was very happy to see. Because I, the past couple of nights, have been watching Aaron play Fallout New Vegas.
I saw him post about that.
Yeah, which is always a joy.
Yep. But... I'm going to, you know, I'm still recovering. I'm going to take a few days to like kind of catch up on emails and stuff. But this is one I'm going to remember forever for the rest of my life, both weeks. And then it's going to be, you know, thank you. It was incredible. And it's, you know, certainly I would do it again. 6 weeks is a long time to be away, but it's also a testament to how much I love these guys that, all of us in the last night were like, it feels like we could do this for months and it would be fucking still fun, which is totally true.
Is that the longest tour you've ever done?
Yeah. Yeah. By a couple of weeks. I think before that it was about a month. So it was nice to have 2 days in LA, you know, a couple of weeks in. That was good. But I got back, you know, when I accepted the gig, wanted to make sure I was back in time for Audrey's birthday, which I am in plenty of time. I didn't want to be away for too long, but this was good across the board for a lot of different reasons. So it was just fun time. And also, we kept a podcast going, minis, regular episodes, for 6 weeks with me on the road and you recovering from a pretty fucking big injury. I think that is pretty remarkable that we were able to do it too.
Yeah, it's like I can't, after surgery it was 2 weeks before I went outside for real and not just on my balcony. Like I am so ridiculously limited right now. But you know, I'm healing up, I'm in good spirits. It is funny how, you know, I fell 2 days before you leave for tour and now you're back and I feel like I am doing so much better. Like I'm not in pain at all anymore.
So great.
Just other than like I can feel the gauze on my splint catching my Wolverine prongs and that's uncomfortable. But
And those come out in a couple of weeks?
They will come out, I think,
in a week?
Next week or 2 weeks from now. And I should I put it on my calendar when I should be able to be weight bearing again, which is the 27th, maybe. So 2 weeks
great.
From now.
Wow. That's not bad. I mean, you've passed the worst part.
Yes, I really have. And you know,
and then it's back up on that roof, baby.
Yeah. Take two. Yeah, no, it's been a nice, I'm fine saying this on the Patreon feed, but my dad flew out a week into my break and has mm-hmm. been here since and is leaving on Monday. So he will have been here for like 5-6 weeks, and it's been a delight, and he has been taking very good care of me, and it's just been fun and nice and healing and good. So I'm very grateful for that. And you got to meet my dad.
Yes. A couple times. Once at a show and once when we were hanging out at our place.
Yeah. He wants to have lunch before he goes, if you're available.
I am not
just you and him, but.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. I'm available. That'd be great.
Neat.
Well, I think that's a mini.
That is a mini. We've covered good ground. I'm excited to look to see what kind of gamer makeup I can find.
Oh, yeah. There must, yeah. Well, you said that you found it. There is, like, makeup for gamers. There have to be.
Yeah, I see a picture of beautiful Zelda makeup brushes, but I'm afraid they're drop-shipped, so I'm going to see if I can find the real version, because these are so sick, I can't believe it. I'm going to text them to you.
I am a little worried about, there's been kind of a major issue recently, fake gamer girls, that I think we kind of need to deal with before mm-hmm. we get into the makeup thing.
Right.
So I'm going to do my own research on that and see what I can uncover.
Do you want me to get her a shirt that says fake gamer girl?
Honestly, that would be fucking awesome. She would definitely not wear it because she would be like, I'm a real gamer. She would be mad. Oh, this is cute. Look at this.
I'm Googling fake gamer girl shirt because
I would wear that.
I would wear it. Yeah. Okay, they do exist. They're not cute, but they do exist.
Yeah, I feel like the moment for that passed, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
But.
All right,
anyway, I do want everyone to be clear. It is about ethics in games.
See you on Friday.
That was a good stop. Bye.
Big tubular.
Late Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LeightonNight. Follow us on Twitter at Leighton Night, on Instagram at Leighton_Night, or email us at LeightonNight@gmail.com.